I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with chemical dependency, codependency, and complex PTSD, and my name is Wendy. Hi. I was born in Portland, Oregon at Good Sam Hospital on March 15th, 1975, the youngest of four sisters. We relocated to Florida to live closer to my grandmother. She was the best person to come into my life. I'd often ask for sleepovers where it was safe and quiet. My family went to a Southern Baptist church. My mom was the kids' choir director and my dad a deacon. We were what I call Sunday Christians. Our family secret was to appear as though everything was great in public, but behind closed doors, there was constant yelling and fighting. Our neighbors referred to us as the loud house. When I was between 3 and 5 years old, my uncle took advantage of me. His actions made hugs unsafe, relationships unsafe, and created body image and trust issues growing up. My dad was always flirting with women. I never saw him hug or kiss my mom. I often found my mom crying and asking if she was going to be okay. I remember my dad bringing my mom flowers, but only after explosions where his temper had gotten the best of him. On the other hand, he was a fun, loving father to us girls. He played guitar and sang beautifully. Sing-alongs, Tickle Monster, and Atari with Dad are my favorite childhood memories. When I was 10, my dad took me to the movies. I was excited to get alone time with him. When we got there, my 18-year-old babysitter showed up and sat on the other side of him. They embraced and held hands during the movie. Not too long after, my mom would finally leave my father. I was 12 when the divorce was final, causing me to grow up fast. Church became a thing of the past. At 13, I drove my best friend and 16-year-old sister home from high school parties so she could drink. I met a 17-year-old guy who took an interest in me. We became boyfriend and girlfriend. He and my sister encouraged drinking, smoking pot, cigarettes, sex, and keeping secrets. He was physically, emotionally, and verbally abusive towards me, but I was in love. My sister had her own secrets. She got pregnant, and when my mom found out, we relocated back to Oregon, far from our boyfriends, but also far from my dad and grandma. The busy household I grew up in was dwindling. My oldest sister was married out of high school, and the second oldest was off to college. At 17, my other sister gave birth to my beautiful niece. She left home after giving her up for adoption. I would get an occasional call, but never knew if she was dead or alive. My sister came back to Oregon 5 years later. I'm 15 entering high school, just me and my mom. I was depressed and angry. I took my anger out on my mom, even though it was my dad who stopped calling. Abandoned once again, I became more rebellious, verbally and physically abusive towards my mom. I had rage I could not control. My mom took me to see a psychologist, and I was prescribed antidepressants in the 9th grade. My friend and I would take extra to see what it felt like. When my prescription ran out early, my mom searched my bedroom and found weed. She took me to a 2-week inpatient treatment center for at-risk teens. Following was 30 days of outpatient. I couldn't believe it, all over pot. After I graduated from treatment, I started skipping school, smoking lots of pot, and only showing up for choir and Spanish class most days. I continued to date older guys, preferably guys that had drugs and cars. I didn't care about myself and indulged in risky behavior. At 16, I began having spiritual attacks when falling asleep at night. Dark, shadowy figures appeared and whispered in my ear. I became catatonic and froze in fear. Soon, a more human-like figure came and stood at the end of my bed watching me. I had out-of-body experiences where I was a spectator to what was happening to me. My mom would find me unable to speak on the floor. She read her Bible and prayed over me until my voice would return. I was only attacked when I was alone. I never told my friends. I just wanted to fit in. I would go to parties, drinking, and taking all kinds of drugs. My sophomore year, I was sexually assaulted. A makeout session turned forceful. I kept quiet and pretended it didn't happen. I decided to change my identity, became a skater chick, and developed an eating disorder. I survived on pot, alcohol, Snickers, and cigarettes throughout most of high school. One afternoon, my mom said we were going to go to the zoo, only to find out when we got to our destination, it was a 30-day inpatient treatment center. What was supposed to be a routine physical exam during check-in turned into another sexual assault by the doctor. I was violated once again, but I knew what to do. Keep my head down and tell no one. I had mastered the art of looking good and staying quiet. I've never been to a male physician since. The first time I felt the Holy Spirit was shortly after graduating from treatment. A youth pastor got to know me and eventually led me to Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Church was still a no-go for me. My childhood left me very confused about God and church. The youth pastor encouraged me to attend a retreat and share a short testimony. To this day, I have no idea what I said. My peers told me they could relate and seemed encouraged. I was thankful to be of any use to Jesus. When I returned home, I thought everything was going to be different. I broke up with my boyfriend and started attending youth group. But the catatonic spiritual attacks were not entirely over. I went back to drugs to cope and pass out at night. Why was God not protecting me? Am I so unworthy I can't be helped by God? From 17 to 21, I only dated drug users and drug dealers. I had a few arrests, fraud, possession of a controlled substance, and driving with a suspended license. It was time to take responsibility for my life and stop blaming my past circumstances for my behavior. Excuse me. Okay, thank you. I'm living in my own apartment and going to college. I had a good job making decent money. I didn't need God. A successful future was on the horizon. I accomplished my professional goals at a young age and met my husband at work in my early 20s. Partying, going to college, making good money while excelling at work. This was the life. He proposed the day after an intense acid trip on the Oregon coast, and I said yes. We were young, fun, and driven, 23 years old and about to tackle the next 15 years together. Being married was difficult. Neither of us had ever dealt with our past hurts. However, my professional success continued to grow. I was awarded store manager of the year, then relocated to Utah, where we would spend the next 10 years. After moving, I was awarded regional manager of the year. I finally found the place I could get the validation I was always seeking, work. We owned nice cars, a beautiful home, and went on multiple vacations a year. But our marriage was in trouble. I kept thinking something was wrong with me. I gained weight, I drank more, and I smoked more. I pulled further away from my husband and started traveling 70% of my time for work. I was able to control my work environment and get paid to fix and help others. When I wasn't working, I would numb out with pot and alcohol. I couldn't be intimate with my husband sober. My emotions and behavior were erratic. I would lose patience and be critical of him. I was always apologizing for getting upset. I started going to therapy to see how to fix me and my marriage. I was prescribed more antidepressants and anxiety medication. So now what? We always wanted a family and decided to get pregnant. Maybe that would fix our failing marriage, a baby. We tried for years, but no luck. In 2007, I got my first fertility injection, and within 3 weeks, I was rushed to the hospital. I was in extreme head pain and my vision was turning white and cloudy. I was diagnosed with a pseudotumor, a buildup of spinal fluid, putting pressure on my brain and optic nerves. I was told I would have this condition the rest of my life. I had a procedure to save my vision and regained most of my sight after 6 months. However, it was no longer safe to have children. My doctor recommended I slow down and change jobs. But my career achievements were where I found my identity. I called my pet sitter and asked if I could work for her while I figured out my new low-stress career. I fell in love. Working with dogs, dog trainers, and dog business owners, I developed a new career path for myself. Dog adventures, boarding, and pack training, my dream job. This is still my career today. Shortly after the start of my new career, I discovered my husband had been having an affair. My reality shattered. Abandoned again, I lost all hope and contemplated taking my own life. Following our divorce, I moved back to Oregon. The only medication that controlled my condition stopped working in October of 2013. I had emergency surgery to place a shunt in my head. It would prevent me from losing my sight again. Drainage tubes leading from behind my eyes, along my brain, and down into my abdomen. What could possibly go wrong? It only took 6 months for the equipment to fail, another surgery, and then another, and so on. I was having major medical procedures once, sometimes twice a year for the next 10 years. I developed a new addiction to pain medication, and when that ran out, I knew how to get myself out of pain, cocaine. In 2016, a family member told me I should check out Celebrate Recovery. I was greeted by the kindest woman when I walked into my very first CR in Aloha, Oregon. I sat in the back of the room bawling my eyes out during worship. I went back the following week and cried some more. I just kept going back and crying. I even got the nickname Waterworks Wendy. I finally felt safe. I began to volunteer at the church filling food boxes for those in need. I was also in need of help. I went from running a successful region to standing in line for food boxes while slowly building my dog business and continuously recovering from surgeries. Humbled. Rage was the first thing I gave up in CR. Verbal outbursts became a thing of the past. I joined a step study and began the deeper work on making amends and forgiving myself. I felt like I was getting closer and closer to going all in with God, but just couldn't take that final leap of faith. I was a believer in Jesus Christ who didn't trust God. I'm actively working on myself in CR when I was kicked out of my home. I allowed this family betrayal to completely derail my recovery. I dove deep into opioids and narcotics. I amped up the drinking and my dog business started suffering. I hired contractors to do my job while I sold cocaine and edibles to support my habits. I carried on for years having medical procedures, keeping my business afloat, using and selling drugs, all while having a string of unhealthy, short-term relationships with men. Another assault occurred in November of 2019. I blamed myself. If I hadn't been using drugs with him, this wouldn't have happened. Following this brutal attack, I needed another surgery to repair my shunt that he had knocked loose. I was at my lowest. I lost all hope again, and this time, I thought about how I would end my life. In 2020, the NBA went on hiatus. I knew something was seriously wrong. COVID-19 had arrived. My business came to a halt. I'm recovering from another surgery, isolated and alone in a big city. My close friend offered to help care for me and relocate me from Portland to Independence, Oregon, and I said yes. This is going to be the start of a healthy new life. I'm in my 40s, living in the country, near my most loving friend. I got to be with her family while COVID, the wildfires, Black Lives Matter, riots, and the beautiful city of Portland went up in flames. Things were starting to turn around. September 2022, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I was in surgery by mid-October. The cancer spread and surgery ended up being more than anticipated. This was a long recovery process with multiple infections and unbearable pain. Feeling abandoned by God again, I fell back into suicidal ideation. I would snap out of it, but only temporarily. I had my final arrest June 13th, 2023 for a DUII. Another 90 days in treatment, attorney fees, and court appearances. It doesn't get more embarrassing than fun-loving Aunt Wendy showing up to jail where my other niece works as a sheriff. Then having my mom pick me up the next day. Yep. Even this didn't stop me from continuing to drink and use. 7 months later, on January 1st, 2024, a dear friend of mine took her life. She was a comedian, but what lied beneath her laughter was deep sadness and pain. I didn't see this coming. I was partying with her the night before. After the news, I fell to my knees, crying out to God, "How can you allow this? Help me. I'm done." At that moment, I got a very clear answer, and this time I listened. The first Bible verse I memorized as a new believer was Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. The more I drew closer to God and allowed the Holy Spirit to do his work in me, the less I feared. Finally, at age 48, 32 years after my teenage testimony and 8 years after I left CR, God led me back to Celebrate Recovery. Turns out Salem First NAS CR is the best place to be on a Friday night. Worship is off the chain. This CR has a lot of fun, in Jesus' name. I was in the right place. CR announced growth groups, Bible studies, starting at church, and I signed up. A godly woman pursued me and found out what was holding me back from becoming a believer and going all in: faith. Once she explained faith like a mustard seed, it clicked. She asked me if I was ready to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I said yes. On February 17th, 2024, she led me through the sinner's prayer. I was delivered into the loving arms of my Heavenly Father, but this time, I was finally all in. Right. That's a good reason to clap. Principle 3, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. God had a plan for me. We cleaned up my life together. I've been attending Celebrate Recovery for 22 months. With Christ's help, I'm breaking off chain after chain and have victory over a daily opioid and cocaine addiction, cigarettes, and anger. Now my coping mechanism is Jesus Christ. I'm currently working on 2 new areas of recovery, supporting one another and not fixing another, and overcoming my lifelong battle with food. God is healing me spiritually, emotionally, and physically. He is restoring broken relationships and chipping away at my depression and anxiety. I got my actual mental health diagnosis, one I've struggled with my entire life, and am finally managing my ADHD. I have not had any surgeries for 3 years and am cancer-free. God is good. I decided to check out Sunday morning service. I couldn't believe how many people I recognized from CR. The worship music and encouraging messages keep me coming back, not to mention all the friends I've made. Friends who love me unconditionally, support my sobriety, and pray for me regularly. Being new in my recovery, I began to branch out and attend multiple CRs a week. I found my sponsor, a mentor, accountability partners, multiple support groups, and made even more amazing friends. God knows it takes a village for this gal. I have been given the honor to lead at Cultivate Community CR in Monmouth, Oregon, and serve at West Salem Foursquare CR. Turns out they are the best places to be on a Monday and Tuesday night. I completed my second 12-step study, but this time with Jesus walking me through every step of the way. I gave God all my secrets I carried my entire life. I'm no longer living in fear and have a peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit. I got dunked on June 22nd, 2025. I was baptized in the river by the River Church. When they announced barbecue and baptisms, I was like, yes, I love barbecues, and was waiting to get baptized in nature. So I had two close friends join me, and we three got baptized on the same day, abundantly blessed. Thanks. Yep. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God to take your stand against the devil's schemes. The dirty devil did not win this battle. No matter what schemes he tried in my life, Jesus still prevailed. My faith and dependence on God grows every day. I'm in my first healthy, intimate relationship, and that's with Jesus Christ. He is my true love. Thanks for letting me share. There you go. Thank you.